Blog Talk Radio.
Connections Radio, and welcome everybody to a new year, 2013, and we're all still living and breathing. Welcome aboard to everybody, and we're excited to have a great guest with us this evening. And I'm going to start by introducing my co-host, Pam. Are you out there?
I'm here. Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Pam, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guests? We have an incredible lineup for this year, and we're going to start it off with a great coach.
This tonight, we have an exciting coach, a man by the name of Michael Neal. He's an internationally renowned success coach and the best-selling author of 4 different books. And from what I understand, he has a new one coming out very soon that he's going to tell us about tonight. He's also got audio programs. He spent the past 22 years as a coach, advisor, mentor, friend, and creative spark plug to celebrities, CEOs, royalty, and we could go on and on. But let me introduce you to Mr. Michael Neal. Would you like to say hello, Michael?
Hello, Michael. Sorry, it's an old Latin joke, but let's just start as we mean to go on.
Well, nice to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Let's start by talking about how you get started in this fascinating profession. How did you get going in this?
Well, I'd love to have a sort of a selfless story of compassion or something like that, but I was a depressed, suicidal teen, and I really got into this because the things that people tried to do to help me mostly didn't work, and then a few of them did. And one of the things that happened along the way is I just got fascinated in how the mind works, and sort of also like what's beyond the mind, you know, what, why we're here and all that kind of stuff. And as my journey from sort of my journey towards not dying, which is going very well, went on, I really did learn some things that I found didn't just help me, but helped other people. And so I would share them. And it wasn't with an intention of having a new career. I was a fairly successful actor in the UK. I had a sitcom where I ironically played a New Age American guy. But I just sort of did this in my spare time. And there came a time after many years where I realized that I was enjoying the work I was doing with clients and with groups more than I was enjoying the acting. And so that was when I sort of started writing books and transitioned full-time to this work.
How many books have you written?
I've written, so this, the one that's coming out is my 4th book. And I've done a few audio programs, and I've edited a lot of books, so that's why I hesitated, is because I've actually worked on over a dozen books in the field, but my own books, this is my 4th coming out.
Wonderful. And what's the name of it?
It's called The Inside Out Revolution, The Only Thing You Need to Know to Change Your Life Forever.
Can you tell us what that only thing is? We're interested.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And it's essentially, this is in its simplest form, but that the mind is more like a paintbrush than a camera. So we think that the way the world works is that we're sort of seeing what's out there and taking it in and making decisions and having reactions based on that. But in fact, what we're seeing is a creation of thought. And the most significant place where that shows up is in our feelings. So we think that we're feeling the stress of our job. We think that we're feeling the pressure of our finances. We think that we're feeling the pain of our relationships. But actually, the mind isn't designed that way. All we can ever feel is our own thinking. And since we spend so much time trying to get our circumstances right in order to get our feelings right, when you suddenly realize, oh, that's not even where they come from, you find yourself with a lot of free time. Because suddenly you don't have to get your life right before you feel wonderful and have a peaceful, happy experience of life. And ironically, from that place, you can do all sorts of cool things with your circumstances as well.
Wow. I think I just had an aha moment. I really love that concept of your mind being a paintbrush and not a camera. That's just really insightful, the way it's said and the whole meaning behind it.
Well, and even if I can, just the reaction you just had is exactly the way this work works.
Mm-hmm.
It's 100% insight-based. In other words, it's all aha moments. So what I do essentially is I have a conversation with my clients or with the groups that I work with or with my readers. And it's a conversation about the nature of the human experience. And the reason that it's so impactful is because we're pointing to something that's not just true for me with my background or true for you with your background, but it's something kind of more fundamentally true about what it is to be a human being on this planet. And because of that, people have these little epiphanies, these little ahas, these little light bulb moments, these insights. And the beautiful thing about an insight is an insight will change you forever. Now, small insights change you a little. Big insights change you a lot. But there's nothing you need to do once you have an insight. One of the analogies I sometimes use is imagine that you were living in a house where, for whatever reason, the cold, I go back and forth between England and America. Is it a faucet or a tap in America?
It's a faucet.
Faucet. Okay, so the cold faucet, boiling hot water comes out of it. So every time you turn the cold faucet, boiling hot water comes out. And you wind up getting really good at dealing with hot water coming out of the cold faucet. So you figure out how to not burn yourself. Maybe you don't wash your hands so often so that you don't get burned. You get really good. You like get good at sticking a bar of soap under there and then sticking a space cloth under there so that your skin never needs to touch it. And you develop strategies for coping with the boiling hot water that comes out of the cold tap.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could develop those strategies and practice them for years, and you could become a master of how not to get burned in the cold tap of life, the cold faucet of life, and you could write books about it, and people would go, oh, this is great, I'm not getting burned so much since I tried your new system, and you could do infomercials. Well, one person comes along and goes, oh, no, you've got it wrong, that's not the cold tap, that's the hot tap, this one over here is the cold tap. Once you've had that insight, once you've seen, oh, it doesn't work that way, it works this way, you're done. You don't need strategies to remember to use the other faucet. You don't need years of conditioning and practice and deep meditative training in order to start using the other faucet. Once you see how it actually works, you'll just start doing it that way because as human beings, we have an innate common sense.
I love the analogy. It's what you're saying is that those insights are immediately integrative because it's not conceptual, it's an experience.
Yes. And the beauty of that now there's a downside and an upside. And the upside for me far outweighs the downside. The downside is we don't get to pretend that we're in control.
Okay.
So we don't get to pretend that we can make the change happen through our will and discipline and all that good stuff that we think we're all lacking in anyways. The upside is life becomes quite gentle because we don't understand things and then we do. And once we do, a whole new area of life gets simpler for us and a whole new area of stress disappears. And as people have progressive insights, which is the way it works, nobody, unless you get enlightened in one go, nobody has all the insights all at once. And there's a whole another conversation about whether the insights stop with enlightenment, because they don't seem to. Mm-hmm. But that journey of insight, life just gets sweeter and sweeter as you go. And for me, even as somebody who for 15 years worked really hard to overcome depression and overcome, and very successfully, like I became an incredibly high-functioning depressive. Like, you know, I was very successful. I was, you know, had a great relationship. I was able to do all sorts of things. But in the back of my head, I always kind of knew I was 2 weeks away from death. Like, I was two. That sounds dramatic, but that's. It really felt like if for 2 weeks I stopped doing my self-care, I would be right back in the pit. But I wasn't that worried about it because I wasn't going to stop doing my self-care for 2 weeks. And I made it that way for many years. When I had my first big insight into the inside-out nature of the human experience, and what I saw with my first insight was I saw that our well-being is innate, that we're born okay. We're born. Babies don't need therapy. Mm-hmm. That, for me, turned things on their head, because instead of my now having to achieve well-being from my naturally depressive state, I realized, oh, I've been achieving depression from my natural state of well-being. And then instead of trying to learn something new, I just stopped doing all the things that made me so miserable. and from there, life has just gotten, as I say, it's just gotten gentler and gentler. And then the knock-on effect in terms of business, in terms of relationship, you know, obviously when you're not running around, you know, trying to keep yourself afloat, you have a lot more energy and focus for other things.
How wonderful. That's really wonderful. So if I can just sort of reiterate the one part of the story you just told, is you have this concept, if I have this right, that when you're operating, it's almost like this little cloud over your head, where even though you were highly functional, the way that you described it, you still had this feeling that there was this gloom that was following you around. And at what point, you said you turned it around by looking at the concept that that we're innately healthy, we're innately happy. Is that
it? And I want to make just a little distinction in there, because I think that's a really nice summation, except that I didn't turn it around. In other words, I saw a spiritual truth,
okay,
which is that we're born happy. So I didn't try to see it. I wasn't really looking for it, to be honest, because I didn't know it was out there. I stumbled over it.
Right.
And I saw it. It was just one of those things. It's like with a joke. You either get it or you don't, and it can be explained to you forever, and you can even get to a point where you can see why it should be funny, but you either get it or you don't. And
right,
that's that insight, back to that insight. I had an insight. I got it. That one, that happened to be the first sort of spiritual fact I saw in my life, was that we're born whole. And for me, everything changed from there, because all this work I was doing, it became, I actually had a client who, it was a new client, and they came to me about 2 weeks after I had this insight. And they said, oh, well, hey, you know, I'm hoping you can help me, you know, to find some peace and some happiness. I'm, you know, he's a very successful guy, and he said, you know, I've worked really hard, but it just, you know, it's always eluded me, and I see other people, and they seem to be happy, and I, you know, I don't know if maybe I think I don't deserve it. And he had a whole story, and I started laughing, and I wasn't trying to be rude, but it just struck me funny. And he got a little bit offended, and he said, well, what are you laughing at? And I said, well, it would be like you coming in and saying to me, I really want your help in having a nose. I see other people and they have noses, and I feel like I deserve a nose, or maybe I need to work on my self-esteem so I can, you know, really convince myself I deserve to have a nose. And can you help me? And with the best will in the world, all you can do when you can see that they were born with a nose and that nose has never gone anywhere, is you can do your best to just keep pointing them towards it, being a mirror, reflecting it back to them until they see that they've already got it. And at that point, they'll have an insight, and that whole game is over. They don't need to go doing all the things they thought they needed to do in order to get happiness, because they've already got it. And life gets simple.
Life gets very simple. Okay. Now, putting myself in the position of my audience, I'm going to, and myself as well. I mean, I just went through a period of having sick kids over Christmas and lots of crazy stress. So you take someone's stress, and stress is really created by, I don't want it to be this way, and I'm worried, or I'm nervous about this, or I'm this, or I'm that. How do you take this beautiful concept that you've just related to us about understanding that we're already happy and apply it to the stress of daily life? How would you tell our audience, what tips could you give them to go from a point of stress to the point of peace?
So now, are you okay if I play with you directly, and I won't be mean, but can I actually address what you just said?
I'm absolutely fine with it. Go ahead.
Okay. So you said two things, and you said them as if they were connected.
Okay.
You said my kids were sick over Christmas, and by the way, mine were too.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, and there was a lot of stress.
Right.
Now, what I'm actually suggesting is that those two things have nothing to do with one another, that they're not connected in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
So if you think of life, think this is just an analogy, but this might be helpful. So let's say that we have 100 units of challenge, and let's say that there's a life event, there's a life circumstance that you feel challenged at 100 out of 100 on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people are going to go through that challenge, and they're going to take on 100 units of stress in response to that 100 units of challenge. Some people are going to take on 75, some will take on 50, some will take on 25, and some won't seem to take on any at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'm pointing to is that the variable that would cause one person to have sick kids and get really stressed, and another person have sick kids and just have sick kids and have a wonderful time, is just thought.
It's just what? I missed that word.
Thought.
Thought.
And it's not even thought like, oh, okay, so I should think these thoughts instead of those thoughts. It's just a recognition that even I would be willing to lay money that during your holiday, even though your kids stayed sick, there were times where they were sick and you were fine, and there were times where they were sick and you were stressed. Would that be fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, the reason that could happen is because your level of stress had absolutely nothing to do with your children's circumstance, and everything to do with what thought happened to be going through your head in that moment.
Absolutely true. And the thought that was going through my head at the moment is a belief that we all take on. It's like a mass consciousness belief. If your children are sick, especially my little one had pneumonia, so he was really, really sick. And my thoughts go to this: I have to take care of him. I have to do something. What can I do? How can I do this? How can I help him? How can I help him? How can I help him? Until you make yourself crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the stress level that I was talking about.
Right. And so one of the, this may be a little heretical in these circles, but I'm not a big believer in beliefs.
I'm not either. But raising them is another
thing. The thing about a belief
is
that's a fancy way of saying a thought that I think a lot. And,
okay.
and when we call it a belief, we make it seem like it's something more than that. So it's almost like so if the mind is a paintbrush, a belief is I painted this picture and now I carry this picture around everywhere and show it to people.
I like that.
So I've stopped painting, and now I'm trying to live out of a painting that I painted in the past. Well, the nature of the mind is it's still a paintbrush, which means that the second I put down that old painting, something new will get painted. Now, here's the beauty of it. Like, for me, this, if it was just, if all that I had seen was that we live in the feeling of our thinking, that would be really interesting, but there'd still be work to do, because we'd have to sort of make sure that we got our thinking right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, here's where this gets a little bit spiritual. There is an intelligence behind the mind. Now, I don't know what that is. It fits with some descriptions I've heard people say with God. It fits with the universe. It fits with deeper intelligence. It fits with the great unfolding. It fits with universal mind. But there is something that powers the brain. Now, whatever that is, when we allow it, it brings through a continual stream of new thought. So in other words, left to our own devices, it's not that we always get completely quiet, but just thoughts come and they go. There's a flow.
Okay.
And when thought is flowing, we tend to experience a fair bit of peace. And, you know, we might have the odd stressful thought, but it doesn't stick. It just kind of passes through. What happens is, we go in and we think, oh, I need to do something about this. You know, I need to take control of which thoughts come into my head and which ones don't. And when we do that, we mess with the flow of the system. It's almost like, I don't know if you've ever heard about training airplanes, but when they train pilots, one of the things that they'll do is they take them up into a stall so that the pilot has to learn how to restart the airplane in the air while it's spinning out of control. It always sounds like an extraordinary thing to me, but it's standard practice.
Right.
And with most planes that they train people on, the plane has a built-in gyroscope, so that the way that you get the plane out of the stall is you let go of the controls.
Mm-hmm.
Because the plane has a self-righting mechanism in it. And as soon as you let go of the controls, the gyroscope kicks in and levels out the plane, and you can carry on flying. Well, we have the same self-correcting mechanism in our minds, right? The mind works like a self-correcting mechanism. So when you stop trying to mess with your thinking, to make it better, to prevent these thoughts and have more of those thoughts, what actually winds up happening is the self-correcting mechanism in the brain kicks in, and you just start having deeper, more peaceful, more useful thoughts. And the reason that most people haven't experienced that is because they haven't let go of their own thinking long enough for it to kick in. It'd be like if you insisted on hanging on to the stick. And I've talked to a flight instructor who said there's been times where he's had to pry people's fingers off the controls, because if he didn't, they would have crashed. And the second they let go, everything levels back out.
So Michael, are you saying that your thoughts, or this flow of thought, is actually innately connected to your identity? I'm not sure. There was one point where I thought that that's what you were saying, but then it shifted. So,
well, I don't know it would depend on what you mean by your identity. If you mean you, Pam, as opposed to me, Michael, as opposed to him, Mark, then no.
Mm-hmm.
No, because you, Pam, and him, Mark, hi, Mark, and me, Michael, well, that's just our thinking.
Right.
Right, that is thought. If you're talking about who we are beyond that, you know, our sort of the essence, the spiritual essence of what it is to be alive.
Right, who's looking out of our eyes.
Level, that deeper ground of being where when you are in that place in you and I am in that place in me, there is only one of us. Well, sure, at that level, I am talking about her identity.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Let's talk about your books for just a second, because I'd like to go back. I just lost the reference to your books. Here it is. The first book you wrote is You Can Have What You Want. Tell me about how that book was written and basically what the energy is behind it.
Well, you know, for me, I look back at the books. There's a wonderful quote. One of my mentors, I used to be an NLP trainer in back when I was kind of trying to work hard at it. And I got the chance to work for 5 years with Richard Bandler, who created NLP and was an extraordinarily effective therapist and teacher. And he had written over 20 books at the time that I knew him. And he said to me once, he said, yeah, there are people all over the world stuck at various stages of my personal development. And I think I kind of look back on my books and I think there's a lot in them that I really still see the value in.
Mm-hmm.
But you can sort of see that I was writing from what I saw at the time. So the first big insight that I had that you can have what you want is based on is that our happiness is not dependent on getting what we want.
That's the answer I was looking for. That's good.
And so one of the big things that happens is the way you approach success changes completely when you see that your happiness isn't dependent on actually achieving it. You have a lot more freedom. You wind up having a lot more openness to things unfolding and to synchronicities and to serendipities. And all. It just fundamentally changes the way you think about success. And that book was hugely successful for me. And just lovely, and it was very representative of how the world looked to me at the time. Then the second book that I did was called Feel Happy Now, and I look back on that one now and smile because that was me kind of sharing all the hard work that I'd learned kept me out of depression and suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And I get letters still every week from people who that book helps, and that's why I haven't sort of, you know, renounced it, because the truth is, until you see something more, it's really helpful to kind of be able to do that. You know, it's like until you kind of learn to swim, you know, having a flotation device is quite useful.
Right. Yeah,
then the third book, Super Coach, you can kind of see in that one, that was when I started to really see the nature of thought and mind and consciousness at a deeper level. That really affected the way I worked with my clients. I work with very, very successful people. And I was fascinated to find that it didn't matter how successful they were, their lives still began to change for the better when they saw something new about the nature of the mind and where our feelings come from and where well-being comes from. And so Supercoach was sort of me sharing, you know, what it would have been like to do 10 sessions with me. You know, the way that my clients did. And my newest book is the first book that I've been able to write, and I mean that just simply because I didn't see it clearly enough to write about it usefully until now, about this sort of, this fundamentally different paradigm, this inside-out paradigm, where it's not the world that creates our feeling or our experience of life in any way, but it's in fact, you know, we're living in a thought-created world. We're living with a paintbrush, and we very often get confused and think we're looking through a camera.
That's incredible. I'm going to go ahead and just take a quick break. Everybody, you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and you can find us on the Internet at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. If you go up there, you'll see our schedule for the next month or so, the guests that we have on. And this evening we have a coach, author, and a great radio person himself. I absolutely love your radio voice, Mike.
Thank you.
And why don't you go ahead and tell everybody where they can find your website and find out about some of the events that you have coming up this year.
Well, I always just like to tell people if you're interested in this conversation, if you go to supercoach.com, that's sort of, I asked my web designers to build me a playground on the web, and so that's where I have weekly blogs that you can subscribe to. We have weekly recordings and videos that we put up that you can listen to. I host a weekly radio show on Hay House Radio, and you can get the information about our latest shows there. And then for people who want to go deeper, we offer both virtual and in-person programs. So we have a new program beginning next week called Living from the Inside Out, which is a 12-week program with videos and weekly calls with me and a community. And it's the second time I've run the program, and it was for me a real eye-opener, because I knew that this conversation could be incredibly transformative face-to-face. And when I ran that program for the first time last year, it was the first time I realized, oh, you can have this conversation online. Like, you can have this conversation in a way that people really can get it without us having to be in the same room. And so I've sort of fallen in love with that program a bit. And so you can find out about how to sign up for that program online as well. And then people who are interested in doing the work, you'll see something called the Super Coach Masterclass Series. And we have two left. We've got one in Seattle in February and one in London in April. And if you want to learn to do this work, that's a great starting point for people.
Mm, thank you for that. How long ago did you start on Hay House with your radio show?
Do you know, I've been told that I started 8 years ago. Now, I say that I've been told because to me it feels like I've been on the air for about 3 years.
Wow.
Apparently, I'm completely wrong. Because somebody sent me an email congratulating me last year on my seventh year, and I wrote back thanking them, but saying I've actually only been on for a couple of years, and they wrote back and go, no, I've been listening to you since, 2005, and I was like, really? So it's been a while now, and it's been great fun. I've always loved the radio. I love listening to the radio. I love doing radio. I actually was briefly offered. When Dr. Laura left the air, I was offered to take over some of her syndicates, and in the end decided not to do that. It was an incredible time commitment that I wasn't up for at that point. But it's one of my favorite mediums for communication and learning.
One of the interesting questions, I know I found you through Hay House Radio. That's how I found you, and then, of course, started by going through a lot of your shows in the archives that are available. And then got into your books and then your audio and just really love all the different things you teach. And I guess one of the interesting questions, because I've listened to you do a whole bunch of different radio shows and everything like that, and I think the question I have for you is, what do you think is the top four things that a lot of people seem to need direction on where you basically are using some of your coaching skills on the radio?
That's a neat question. I don't know if I've been asked that before. I think in terms of what they come with, particularly on the radio, people call in because they've got a big decision to make and they don't know what to do. They call in because they feel stuck in a circumstance and they don't know how to get out of it. They call in because they've got a big goal and they want sort of help in taking it on. Or they call in because their relationship is either falling apart or non-existent. I would say those are the sort of four themes that come up the most. But what's interesting is what makes, people sometimes ask, well, gosh, you do shows on relationships, you do shows on money, you do shows on health, you do shows on all these different things. How do you know so much about all these different areas? Well, what I'd be happy to tell anyone if they ask, but it never comes up, is I cheat. Because it turns out that the way that you relate to money, the way that you relate to a partner, the way that you relate to your health, the way that you interact with goals and success and stress is 100% an effect of your level of understanding of how the human experience is created. And so all I have to do is point somebody towards the source of experience, this deeper intelligence behind life, and get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have the insights they need to have, which will allow them to move forward. I use an analogy sometimes. I think it's in the book. I'm still working on the final edit, so I don't know if I can't remember if we're going to leave this in for the final edit. But there's a little kind of pop quiz where I give the reader choices, scenarios, and I say, okay, so imagine that you're this highly paid consultant. And the first client that comes to you is a politician's wife, and he's been caught having an affair. And half of your friends are telling you you should leave the leave the bum, and the other half are telling you to stand by your man. You know, what do you advise her? And then the second question is you get somebody who's very successful, but they're very overworked, and, you know, half their friends are telling them they need to step back from work, and the other half are telling them they should really go for it while they're succeeding and kind of make the most of it because it won't last. You know, how do you advise them? And I go through a bunch of scenarios, and then the last scenario that I give is you're walking along a country road, and it's, you know, it's kind of muddy because it's been raining, and this car comes whipping around the corner and almost hits you and slams on the brake, and you get kind of sprayed with mud, and you can see that his windshield is completely caked in mud. Like, it's amazing that he can even see the road at all. And he sticks out his head, and he asks for directions to town. What advice do you give him? Now, most people get that the advice that you're going to give the last guy is that he needs to clear his windshield before he does anything. But it doesn't occur to most people, and it doesn't occur to us when we're the ones who feel stuck, that there's no point in trying to get good advice about what to do when we're looking through a muddy windshield, when we're out of sorts, when we're disconnected from our deeper wisdom, from this deeper intelligence, when we're all flustered and caught up in all our stressful thinking. You know, there's no point in trying to get advice, because if you could even hear it, you wouldn't be able to follow it. And once you clear your windshield, in most cases, you can just see what to do. You don't need anyone else's advice. And that makes my job pretty easy.
When you take a look, as you know, with the work you've been doing over the years and everything, you know, you've had a chance to work with so many different people. You know, I'm wondering, as far as your own personal growth, what do you think is your biggest aha moment that you've had in, let's just say, 2012?
In 2012, you know what, I can actually answer that question. Aha. My biggest thing in 2012 was actually about selling. I realized that fairly early in the year, and somewhat to my horror, that I thought I liked selling, and I realized that I didn't like selling, I liked winning. And I had gotten good enough at selling that I won a lot. So I was still kind of treating that aspect of my business like something I had to get through, but I just got better at getting through it. And when I took a fresh look at it this year, I realized that the reason that I didn't like selling was because the question I was asking in my head, and I had no awareness of this, and I mean, this makes me sound awful, and maybe I was, but I didn't know I was thinking this way. It just... I suddenly saw it. That was, you know, what's the least I need to do to get the most money from a client? Like, that was sort of the question in the back of my head. And look, that's just creepy. You know, as soon as I realized that was the question I'd been asking, I couldn't do it anymore. And I actually went through a few months where my business started to really slow down for the first time in years, because I just was like, I can't play this game anymore. This is really silly. And then I suddenly dawned on me, and you know, as often is the case with an insight, once it dawned on me, I couldn't believe that I hadn't seen this earlier, that a much better question would be, how can I help this person, and do I want to? And as soon as I realized that that was a legitimate question, I started experiencing the people that I was working with completely differently, because I would see. And I would see with a lot of people, I knew exactly how I could help them, and it was just a decision of if I wanted to take the time and energy, because I have a limited amount of both compared to the number of people who want to work with me. With some people, I wasn't sure, and so I had to ask them questions to figure out if there was something that I could do that I thought would really help them and make a difference for them. And with some people, I don't really see how I can help, so I don't spend much time trying to get them to pay me money to do what I'm not sure I can do. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, my entire experience of sales changed to one of complete ease and integrity. Because all I was doing now, all I am doing now when I talk to a potential client, is I'm just getting a sense of whether or not I think I can make a positive difference in their life. And if so, is that something I want to spend my time on, given the other constraints of my schedule? And it's become quite a beautiful process. And I find now that people often will come off, you know, what you could have called in the past a sales call with me. And it's as powerful as one of my coaching calls. because we're just exploring, you know, what's going to make a difference in their lives.
You know, there's a lot of people that are listening to the radio show that probably want to you know, become coaches. And I guess the question I have is there a magical baking mix in the dough as far as what makes someone be a, you know, get into that position of being a good coach, you know, once they get the skills under their belt?
Well, I think there's a really important distinction. I've been training coaches, you know, I've had a coaching academy for the last 3 years, and we're actually not going to run it next year, but we'll run it again in 2014. And so I've had the chance to study a lot of coaching schools and work with a lot of coaches, some of whom were brand new to the field, some of whom had been doing it for years. And I think that there's a really important distinction between what is generally seen as the job of a life coach and what I consider the possibility of transformative coaching, which is the field that I, you know, it's what I call what I do. And the sort of the three levels that I make the distinction at is at level one, there's, you know, what you could call basic straight performance coaching, where you're just trying to, you know, somebody has a job interview, they've got the big game, they've got an event coming up that they want to be at their best in, and the coach tries to help them do that. And that's one kind of coaching. Life coaching, what most people mean when they say life coaching, is what I would call level two coaching, where you're basically sharing strategies for success. So your effectiveness as a life coach is you're not just helping them with one situation, you're helping them with a category. So if you're a relationship coach, you share your strategies for success for relationships. And if you're a health coach, you share your strategies for success for health. And if you're a money coach, you share your strategies for success for money, and so on down the line. What transformative coaching is about is shifting the foundations of how somebody understands the human experience. So instead of, you know, one of the metaphors I'll use for it is, you know, instead of helping somebody have a better experience inside the egg, we're helping them hatch. And so it's a fundamentally different skill set than conventional, what we might call empowerment coaching. Because we're not trying to empower people because they don't need empowerment. When you're plugged into the mains, it doesn't matter how good your battery is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we work with people to do. So what I would say is if anyone's interested in it from a coaching point of view, we actually have it's the first time I've ever released audio of a live program that I did, and it was just because it was really good. It was just one of those ones where, you know, I didn't know when we started out doing it that it was going to come out that well. And it was a 3-day training in London called Coaching from the Inside Out. And you can order it from the website. I think it's supercoach.com/inside. And it's a really strong, clear introduction to this kind of work that I would recommend for anyone who coaches. The only thing I want to say about it is I swear a lot in it. It's a weird thing. I've never sworn at home or in front of my children, but when I teach, I swear like a sailor. And it sometimes freaks people out who are used to hearing me be all lovely and fluffy and pink on the radio. So if that's a problem, don't order it. But if you're
So what you're saying is it has an explicit lyrics symbol on it.
It has explicit lyrics. Yeah, we put the explicit lyrics sticker on the CD. And it's a function. I explain what that's about in the program, and it's not random and it's not gratuitous, but it's just something that I think people should know about. But that's a great way in. If you can get to Seattle or London, even more than the program, I would recommend, and I don't think it costs actually any more, might be $100 more or something to come to the live event than to listen to the audio. I would come along to the masterclass series. You can also actually watch it virtually, so you can stream it online. Where I bring in some of the best coaches in the world, and you'll actually get to watch them work with clients. And one of the things that people who've done coach training often say is the thing that was missing from their training is they never got to watch great coaches coach. And so the masterclass series, you know, I created it specifically to just bring in some of the best coaches in the world that I know and put them on stage with clients so that we can watch them coach and ask them questions about it and learn. So you can find all that on the website.
Yeah, I was going to say, where are those two events in 2013?
So the last two masterclasses, we already did one in Los Angeles and one in New York City, and you can actually get videos of those. But the next two live ones, we've got Seattle February 9th and 10th, and London April 8th and 9th, but I'm kind of making that up. But it's early in April. But the information, you'd go to supercoach.com/masterclass, and you can see it there.
Is there a prerequisite as far as, like, should you have certain coaching skills under your belt before you go to that type of live event, or?
Not for those programs. Most of the live events I run, there are no prerequisites for, because they're not designed to get you to a specific outcome. They're just designed to create an environment where you're likely to have more insights that will move you forward. And that's certainly true of the Living from the Inside Out, which is the online program, the Coaching from the Inside Out, the masterclasses. In 2014, the Supercoach Academy, we do spend more time with people before we let them in. They don't necessarily need to already have training or skill, because that's what we're there for. But we want to make sure that people come in pretty clear about why they're coming into it, because one of the problems that I found with coaching as a profession is it's sold like multi-level marketing. You know, hey, be a coach in your spare time, and, you know, make hundreds of thousands of dollars from your couch. And the truth is, coaching is like any other profession. You know, you wouldn't buy brain surgery in your spare time. You know, from an online course, you probably don't want to learn to be a coach just by sitting at home and trying to make your fortune from your couch. It is a great profession. It does allow a great degree of freedom and flexibility, and there is certainly potential for great income. And all of that is true, but any coaching program that's selling you on a, you know, get rich quick in your spare time isn't really a coaching program. It's a get rich quick in your spare time program. And we want to make sure people know that before they come on board.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me that, you know, one of the things that you're talking about as far as the transformation of the type of teaching that you're doing now is that, you know, like you said before, you could be a coach in relationships or a coach on finances and stuff like that. And with this new model, it's kind of like you don't have to be specialized anymore, because now you're kind of looking at it from a different angle. It's not about coaching to a specific issue. It's more about transforming people.
Oh, I mean, in the last 48 hours, I've coached one of the principals in one of the largest private equity funds in Europe. I've coached an athlete who's a professional athlete who's out there doing his thing. I've coached a psychiatrist who's working with clients. And we've had essentially the exact same conversation. Now, obviously, the details of it were a little bit different, because each of us are different and unique and are dealing with different circumstances. But the essence of the conversation is always the same, because what's behind the human experience, this deeper intelligence of mind, this amazing capacity for awareness and insight that I talk about as consciousness, this paintbrush of thought, those are the three constants of the human condition. And the more that you see about them, and for me, it certainly looks like it's going to be a never-ending journey. The more you see about it, the easier everything in your life gets. And it doesn't mean that your circumstances are always perfect. It doesn't mean your kids don't get sick at Christmas. It doesn't mean you don't get sick. It doesn't mean everything always works out the way you planned. It means that you can handle the highs with a lot of gratitude, and you can handle the lows with a lot of grace.
Mm, that's beautiful. Very nice.
So, you know, what do you think was the biggest thing you noticed when you went to the first, how did you label this? It's called the Master Coaching Event.
The Supercoach Masterclass Series.
Yeah. What do you think is the most biggest aha moment you noticed from when you had the first one?
Well, I think what I noticed is, because on the first one, it was interesting. I brought in a wider range of coaches, all brilliant, brilliantly powerful, transformative coaches, but who came from very different understandings of what makes people tick. And so for me, one of the biggest insights that I had was not to do that anymore. So in New York, we did it differently. And in New York, we brought in people who were very much grounded in an inside-out understanding, and that's what we've done for Seattle and for London as well. And we have some amazing people. Most of the ones in Seattle people won't have heard of, but Dr. George Pransky and Dr. Keith Blevins and Dr. Bill Pettit, who are and Linda Pransky and Valda Monroe are going to be the other coaches along with me on the program. You know, these are people who've been doing this work for collectively probably 150 years. You know, it's sort of the equivalent. They created this field. You know, it would be the equivalent of going to watch Freud and Jung do therapy live. And so that's why I've gone up to Seattle, because that's where they're based. Like, it's not necessarily a big market, but I would always go wherever they are. So I'm very excited about that one. And then in London, we have sort of the, you know, the hot young bucks, where you've got, you know, one of my students who's got his first book coming out, Jamie Smart, who does amazing work in the UK. Dr. Aaron Turner, who is one of the most effective business practitioners using this inside-out understanding. And actually, a woman named Nancy Klein, who, if you can get her on your radio show, she wrote a book called Time to Think, and she is one of the most beautiful souls. I don't usually talk like that, but when she came to teach on our last academy, she walked in the room, she walked up to the front of the room, and God came into the room with her, is the only way I can say it. And so for me, it's not even about what she teaches or talks about. It's just the chance to hang out in her presence is awesome.
What was her first name? Her last name was Klein.
Nancy. N-A-N-C-Y-K-L-I-N-E. And yeah, her books, Time to Think, More Time to Think, really eye-opening, very practical. But who she, even though I love her books, who she is makes them pale.
What a wonderful thing to say about someone.
So I want to actually go back and talk about your new book. When is it coming out?
So it's coming out in the UK in April, and it'll be out in the US in May. And it's called The Inside Out Revolution, The Only Thing You Need to Know to Change Your Life Forever. And it's very different. It's much shorter than my other books, for starters. My first draft of my first book, when I turned it into Hay House, was 125,000 words. And we eventually got it down to 62,000. And this new book's just, it's going to come in around 35,000 words. And it's because this is such a simple understanding that it doesn't, people don't get it more by talking about it in more words. So there's a lot of stories, there's metaphors. And it really, I've written it to feel like you're having a conversation with me about this. So it's not, you know, it's not a book filled with things that you've got to do and things that you've got to practice and technique number 75. And it really is, you know, hopefully this has been, for people listening, this has been an interesting, at worst, an interesting conversation, and at best, an illuminating and enlightening one. And I've designed the book as best I can to create that experience for the reader. And you know, so far the initial feedback has been very, very positive.
Well, we'll definitely be looking forward to that book coming out. I know I get your books as soon as I can get my hands on them. So. Go ahead,
so,
Pam.
So I was going to ask you a question. You know, when we were talking about your prior books, you mentioned the books as though they were part of your personal growth, and looking back on them almost like, okay, that's not where I am right now. But the Super Coach, the 10 Secrets to Transform Anyone's Life, that was your last book. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's my most recent. That was in 2009.
Okay. 2009. Can you tell us what the 10 secrets are?
You know what? I can, but the only reason I can is because I have a copy here that I can grab off my shelf, and then I can kind of sneak to the back of the book and read them to you. Let's see. If I can find the page quick enough, then I can do this for you. Otherwise, you're on your own. You'll have to actually buy it. Here they are. I'll go through them. Here are the 10 secrets.
Okay.
Secret number one: the world is what you think it is. you're creating your experience of the world moment by moment. Secret number two, well-being is not the fruit of something you do. It's the essence of who you are. There's nothing you need to change, do, be, or have in order to be happy. Secret three, there's nowhere for you to get to. You're just here. Secret number four, what you decide will never impact your life as much as how you handle the consequences of that decision. Secret number five, every emotion you experience is a direct response to a thought, not the world around you. Secret number six, no matter what seems to be going on in your life, you don't have to do anything. Everything you do or don't do is a choice. Secret number seven, you create other people by how you listen to them. Secret number eight, you can ask anyone for anything when you make it okay for them to say no. Secret number nine, financial security doesn't come from the amount of money you currently have. It comes from your ability to get more of it whenever you want. Master the art of serving others, and you'll secure your financial future. And secret number 10, there is never a good reason not to hope.
Wow. Well, that's really amazing. It says so much. Thank you for reading those to us.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
I'm glad I could
you.
Find them.
Yeah, and which book is that from again? Because I know
that's
a lot of
Super
people.
Coach. That's the Super Coach, 10 Secrets to Transform Anyone's Life. And, you know, one of the reasons people sometimes say, well, if you don't think the same way, why don't you pull these books? And what I've found is people can see what they can see at the level where they're at. And so for some people, when they hear me talking now, they go, oh, why don't you talk about that good stuff you used to talk about? You know, why do you talk about all this spiritual stuff now? And other people are, oh, I'm so glad you stopped talking about all that practical crap and you've moved on to something real and lasting. And so for me, I just think, you know, wherever you are, something will appeal to you, and you're better off following your nose and following that inner sense of direction than trying to do what somebody tells you is the right thing to do. And so I let the book stand on their own. But of course, you know, I'm going to say to somebody if they're wondering which one to read, well, read the new one.
I love that.
That's the clearest that I see so far. And you know what? It may be in a couple of years you guys have me back on and I'm going, oh, God, don't read that one. But it won't be because I'm trying to sell a new book. It will be because I genuinely think it's going to be more helpful.
Right.
Well, thank you for being on the radio show this evening. And it's great having you on also, Pam. And we'll be looking forward to your new book that's coming out and your events. And if you could just tell everybody your website again.
Yeah, just supercoach.com.
Thank you so much for being on. Go ahead, Pam, and we'll close out.
All right. Good night, everybody. Happy New Year, and may all your creations come true.
Thanks again, Mike.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Life is but a dream.